Why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and open them up to Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to read one verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Probably a verse many of you could quote from memory. I want to use this as my launching point tonight. And I do have a Thanksgiving message. All right, Ephesians 4:32, here's what the Bible says. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ran across a little poem a couple of weeks ago about Thanksgiving. I'd like to read it to you tonight as I start. It goes like this. It's entitled, A Good Thanksgiving. A Good Thanksgiving. Said old gentleman Ray on a Thanksgiving day, if you want a good time, then give something away. So we sent a fat turkey to shoemaker Price, and the shoemaker said, what a big bird, how nice. And since such a good dinner's before me, I ought to give poor Widow Lee the small chicken I bought. This fine chicken, O.C., said the pleased Widow Lee, and the kindness that sent it, how precious to me. I would like to make someone as happy as I. I'll give washerwoman Biddy my big pumpkin pie. And, oh, sure, Biddy said, 'tis the queen of all pies. Just to look at its yellow face gladdens my eyes. Now it's my turn, I think, and a sweet ginger cake for the motherless Finnegan children I'll bake. A sweet cake all our own. 'Tis too good to be true, said the Finnegan children, Rose, Denny, and Hugh. It smells sweet of spice and will carry a slice to poor little lame Jake, who has nothing that's nice. Oh, I thank you and thank you, said little lame Jake. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful cake. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's how the poem goes. And, oh, such a big slice. I will save all the crumbs and will give them to each little sparrow that comes. And the sparrows, they twittered as if they would say, like old gentleman Ray on Thanksgiving Day, if you want a good time, then give something away. Now, my desire for you is that you have a good time in this Thanksgiving season. And so I encourage you tonight, I want to encourage you tonight in my Bible study to give something away so that you can have a good time on Thanksgiving Day. And I have four suggestions for you tonight as to what you can give away. The first one is obvious. You need to give away your thanks. Thanks to our Heavenly Father, and thanks to others. In Psalm 92, verse 1, the Bible says this, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. In Psalm 95, verse 2, the Bible says this, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And then I ran across a verse, and again, I read the Bible a lot, but there's just verses that when you get them in a context, like when you're doing a Bible study, they seem to speak at you more as to if you're just reading through the Bible. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says this. It has a phrase in that verse that says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, what that phrase in that verse is talking about is that you are so full of thanksgiving that you are just abounding in it. It overflows. Now, some of us, after lunch tomorrow, we will be abounding in thanksgiving. But that's not, yeah, that's right, Brother Leonard. But that's not what that verse is talking about. It's not talking about what's going to happen when we eat tomorrow. It's talking about having the Thanksgiving spirit so much that we are filled with it, and that it overflows, and that it abounds. And it's easy for us to think about doing that when we think about the good things that God has given us. Lois and I were talking a little bit this afternoon about the things that we were thankful for. And the first one that she mentioned was, she says, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus as my Savior. I'm so thankful that I have the hope of heaven, that when this life is over. And we talked about Bob going to heaven, and she doesn't want to give him up, but she knows that he's going to heaven, and she has that hope. And it's easy for us to be thankful when it comes to things like our salvation. And we ought to be thankful for our salvation. We ought to be thankful for the hope of heaven that we have. We ought to be thankful for the health that God has given us. We ought to be thankful for the family that God has given us. I would remind you that verse in James, I think it's chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above. And every good thing that we have in our life, and I tried to get this across Sunday morning in my message, please, please, please don't take it for granted. Every good thing that comes into our life is a gift from God, and we need to be grateful for that gift. But then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And as I was thinking about it earlier this week, many of the good gifts that God sends into our life are, and gifts that we need to be thankful for, they come in experiences that we would avoid if we could. And let me say that one more time just to make sure you're with me. Many of the good gifts that God gives us that we should be thankful for, they come by way of experiences that we would avoid or resist or say, no, I don't choose to go through this. And many of the good things, again, that God has given us that we need to be thankful for are things that we would not choose to endure if we had a choice. And so tonight, I would not only encourage you to be thankful for your salvation and your hope of heaven and your health and your family and all the quote unquote good things that God give us, I would encourage you to be thankful for the experiences that God puts us through that we wouldn't put in the pleasant category. We wouldn't put in the happy category. We would put in the problem category. And we need to be just as thankful for those things as the good things. Again, Lois and I were talking, and I was sort of sharing with her what I was going to teach on tonight. And I said, I told her, Lois, we need to be thankful for our salvation, and we need to be thankful for our hope of heaven. But you also need to be thankful for this experience that you've gone through for almost 2 months now in the hospital, in the convalescent home, back in the hospital, in the convalescent home. You know, I don't need to tell you, she's there 24/7. She goes home a couple days a week to take a shower and wash her clothes, but then she's right back there 24/7. And I said, Lois, you need to be as thankful for what you've gone through the past 2 months as you are for your salvation and as you are for your hope in heaven. And, you know, she crossed her eyes and gave me that look. And if you've been visiting, you know what I'm talking about, because she'll tell you exactly what's on her mind. She says, I don't know if I can do that. I said, well, it's not easy. But it's just as much something to be thankful for to God as when everything was going good and Bob was healthy and before he had Alzheimer's and all that, and you were enjoying each other's company. God has a purpose for what you're going through. And again, you may not understand it. She sure doesn't understand it now. I mean, she'll tell you, I don't understand it. I don't understand why God's letting us go through this. But God has a purpose. And we need to be as thankful for the quote-unquote unpleasant things that he brings into our life, that he allows to happen in our life, as we are for the good things. So, let me just give you some examples. When you have opposition with something you're trying to do, be thankful Because opposition usually makes you try harder. Doesn't it? That makes you try harder. Be thankful for the disputes that you have. Because a dispute usually makes you sharpen your argument. Sharpen your position. Think what position you're putting forward. And if you didn't have a dispute, you might not do that. Be thankful for the struggles that come into your life, because it's only through the struggles that we grow. And again, I've used this illustration a lot. You don't get stronger with no resistance. You get stronger when you have resistance. When you lift weights, that's how you get stronger. You keep putting on more weight. And the way we get stronger is God keeps putting on more weight. And we need to be thankful for that. Now, again, we would say, if I could choose, I don't want any of these things. Be thankful when defeats come, because they help us stay humble. Tomorrow I'm going to play Scrabble with my brother. I'll probably get beat. He works a crossword puzzle every day, so he knows all these weird words. And I'll get beat. It keeps me humble. Be thankful when you have enemies. Because if you have no enemies, it means you're not trying to do anything. Huh? The only way you get enemies is when you're trying to do something. Be thankful when you have critics. Because sometimes critics are the only people that will tell you the truth about yourself. So, be thankful that God brings good out of situations that we would not choose. And we need to be thankful to Him in all things. Now, I know some of you are saying, I don't know if I agree with you. Hey, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. We just need to take, and again, God doesn't allow anything to come in our life without a purpose. Nothing sneaks in. Satan can't sneak anything into our life without God letting it come. And He's got a purpose for it. And we need to be thankful for that. So, if you want a good Thanksgiving, give your thanks away. Not only to God, but to others. And again, I'll just tell you tonight, if you have a mom and dad that's still alive, you ought to thank them. You say, well, I thank them all the time. Well, that's good. You ought to thank them all the time. But in the Thanksgiving season, I'd make a special effort to say thank you to them. If you have grandparents that are still alive, same thing. I'd make a special effort to say thank you to them. If you have children, I'd make a special effort to say thank you to your children. Well, you say, what do I have to be thankful to my children about? Well, thank them for being good kids. You say, well, preacher, you don't know my kids. I know some of your kids. And I could point out to you parents that have kids that are a lot worse than your kids. You need to be thankful for the children that God has given you. Be thankful. And again, I mentioned Sunday that I talked about our church being full of families. And I said, you know, if your grandpa's here today, if your dad's here today, you got to go up and give them a hug. Let them know that you love them, because you don't know how many opportunities. Tracy went up to Sam and gave him a hug, and she says, he looked at me like, what do you want? And, you know, if your mom and dad don't go here, you may call them tonight, or you may call one of your children tonight. Say, hey, I just want to thank you for being such a good kid. And they'll probably say, boy, what has dad been into? It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and do it. If you want a good Thanksgiving, give something away. Give your thanks away. All right, I have three other suggestions. All right, number two, give away your kindness. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. You know, the world that we live in could use a whole lot more kindness. A whole lot more kindness. We live in a world that is not kind. We live in a world that tries to ignore others. A world where smiles are few and far between. A world where common courtesy is not showed very often. A world where there's not many encouraging words said. We need to show kindness to other people. You know, it's kindness just smiling at other people and saying hello. I had to go to Myers today to get something. And a long line. I mean, there were cars coming out of the parking lot. I finally got up to the cashier, and I smiled at her and said, "How are you doing today?" And she said, "It's a terrible day." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, look at all these people." I said, "Well, that's good. I mean, if they didn't have all these people, you probably wouldn't have this job." I said, "And just think, it'll be over soon." And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, just a smile, just an encouraging word, sometimes just a handshake, a pat on the back, a hug if you know the person well enough. And again, too many times we're too busy, we're too self-centered, we're too cautious. Well, I can't be kind to a stranger because I don't know what kind of person that he or she is. And again, this verse says, "Be kind one to another." I would just submit to you tonight that kindness, for the most part, costs you nothing. Costs you nothing. Doesn't cost you a thing to be kind. And a little kindness goes a long way. Goes a long way. Isn't it amazing how a little drop of oil makes the wheel run smoother and lessens sweat and toil? Isn't it amazing how a little drop of rain lifts the drooping flower so it will bloom again? And isn't it amazing how a kindly word of praise cheers the heavy laden and helps the burden raise? It does. It is amazing. So give away your kindness. Number three, give away your heart. Again, Ephesians 4:32, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted." Tender-hearted. That word tender-hearted is only used two times in the Bible. The words tender and heart, they're used other places in the Bible, but this word tender-hearted is only used two places in the Bible. It's used here in Ephesians 4:32. It's used in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 7, when it's talking about Rehoboam. It talks about him being young and tender-hearted. Tender-hearted means exactly what the word says. A tender-hearted person is a person that has a tender heart, a person whose heart is touched by the happenings in other people's life. I would submit to you tonight that Jesus was a tender-hearted person. And the verse that I use to make that argument with you is Hebrews chapter 4:15, where the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we." Now that verse has a double negative. "For we have not a high priest which cannot." And as I remember my English, and Teresa, you help me if I'm off base here, but as I remember my English, if you have a double negative, they cancel each other out. And so if you take the negatives out of that verse, what it says is, "For we have a high priest, Jesus, that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities." And so when Jesus ran across a person that had an infirmity, had a sickness, or had some trouble in their life, he was tender-hearted. He felt what they felt. He was touched by the feelings of their infirmity. And that's exactly what tender-hearted means, that I am touched by what others feel, by what others are going through. I weep as they weep. I laugh as they laugh. I let them know by my tender-heartedness that they're not alone. There's somebody else that a little bit understands what's going on in their life and shares their feelings. And you know, there's a lot of people that we'll come in contact with the rest of the week that what they need more than anything else is to just know that somebody cares. Just that they care. And that we can share, even if it's only for a moment, we can share with them what they're going through. So, you want to have a good time at Thanksgiving? Then give something away. Give away your thanks. Give away your kindness. Give away your heart. And then, number four, give away your forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4, again, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sometimes even we as Christians stay mad too long. We stay bitter too long. We hold on to things that we should let go. And we need to give others our forgiveness. And I know, because I'm a human being just like you are, when I read something like that or if somebody says something like that to me, I might be quick to say, well, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve my forgiveness. And I would just point out to you what that verse says. Neither did we. We were not forgiven by God because we deserved it. We were forgiven by God for Christ's sake. Huh? For Christ's sake. And so if you have somebody that you're hanging on to something about and won't forgive them, and maybe they don't deserve it, I would ask you tonight to forgive them for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told a story about the kingdom of heaven and forgiveness. And I want to close just by reading it to you. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Not a single person here would want the forgiveness of God revoked. Not one of us. Not a single person here would want the forgiveness of God taken back. Not a single one of us here would want the forgiveness of God canceled out. It means we need to learn how to forgive. Forgive. And the sparrows, they twittered as if they would say, like old gentleman Ray on Thanksgiving Day. If you want a good time, then give something away. So tomorrow, I know we'll be with our families and maybe some of you will be out and about. Give away your thanks. Give away your kindness. Give away your heart. Give away your forgiveness. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.